From Acts chapter 6, beginning at verse 8, Stephen, full of grace and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. And then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Cyrenes, Alexandrians, and others of those from Cilicia and Asia stood up and argued with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. Then they secretly instigated some men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." They stirred up the people as well as the elders and the scribes. Then they suddenly confronted him, seized him, and brought him before the council. They set up false witnesses who said, "This man never stops saying things against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses handed on to us." And all who sat in the council looked intently at him, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Amen. Some of you may have heard a story once of a young kid that was sitting on the side of the road, and he had his BB gun there, and he had his little army surplus hat on. An older person walked by and said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm protecting the city. I'm keeping out the wild animals, the lions, the tigers, and the bears." He said, "Son, I have never seen a lion, a tiger, or a bear run through this town." To that the child, undeterred, said, "I'm doing a good job, huh?" Last week, your preacher spoke to you about conflict in the church. One person in particular asked me, said, "You know, you preached on conflict. Is there a problem in the church?" I said, "No, I'm doing a good job, right?" Sometimes we, like the child, we talk about conflict. We talk about healthy resolutions to make sure we never get to a point where we're in unhealthy resolutions. I share that because one of the courses I'm taking now, working on my doctoral program, is titled Conflict Resolution and Crisis Management. The dean of the program said, "That's the most popular course we offer." Tells me a couple of things. There's conflict, as we know, in the church, in the Christian church. But also there is in our society, in our culture. Haven't we all worked in a setting, or been on a sports team, or dealt at school or other civic organizations where there was challenges, where there was personalities, where there were conflicts to deal with? We heard last week how the church was not immune. We saw it in the first century church. Remember the passage that we shared last week about the Hellenist and Hebraic Jews? The Hellenists were complaining that their widows weren't getting the fair treatment that the Hebrews were. And then we hear this week where even more conflict persists among the people of faith. So I think there's lessons for us, certainly in our church, how to pursue. How do we deal with challenges, with problems, with decisions we have to make in a healthy way, but also, how can we apply this to our business, to our friendships at school, to our relationships on our sports teams, and in our civic organizations? You know, in our passage, there's a model that seems to be clear that speaks of a model created by Dr. George Bullard. He wrote a book once titled, "Every Congregation Needs a Little Conflict." I've shared that with some of you. And Bullard's statement is to say this, we're going to have conflict. The challenge is it healthy or is it unhealthy conflict? We think of beautiful music like Tristan shared with us this morning. Tristan, before she picked up that guitar, I'm sure that at some point today she tuned that thing. Did you, Tristan? Sound to be on tune to me. John, I'm not good at tuning a guitar, but I know if it's not in tune, right? I'm that musical at least. I can't make it make a beautiful sound, but I know when it doesn't, right? And for us to hear beautiful music from an instrument like a guitar or even a piano, or as we had to do most recently with our organ, sometimes it needs to be tuned, right? And in the tuning process, there's a certain amount of tension. On those strings right now, on that instrument, there's a certain degree of tension. And without the tension, without the conflict, beautiful music can't come forth. Oh, but we know what happens. Too much tension. And the strings break. Too much tension. And the music is not beautiful, but a distortion to our sense of beauty and community. So such it is that we that live in relationships search for the proper tension and balance for healthy relationships in the church and in our lives. George Bullard said this. He said there's 7 intensities of conflict. Now we at Ripley have certainly not been prone or been able to escape conflict in our history, in our lives. But you know what? As I've studied conflict in other churches, we haven't seen a thing. Wow, as Bullard goes through the levels of intensity, he goes from 1 to 7. And in 1 last week, 1 and 2, we saw an example of those healthy conflicts with the Hebrews and the Hellenistic. Where level 1 conflict, intensity 1 in our relationships, in our churches, it's all about the problem. It's simply you have a challenge that you need to fix. When you move on to element 2, level 2 in conflicts, then you see personalities get involved. You have people who are challenged to deal with at times. Anybody ever work with someone? Anybody have anyone in their... Not time for confession. But we all have challenging relationships. That's what we see in intensity 2. We're still seeking win-win in our conflict resolution. That's what was happening with the Hellenists and the Hebrews. They wanted to win. But to deal with that conflict, as we spoke of last week, they needed to communicate. And then you transition to intensity 3, where there's competition. Someone's got to win. Someone's got to lose. We see that oftentimes. In our relationships, on our sports teams. Sometimes we're playing against our friends, Cole and Ryan. Maybe playing with a little buddy in their school. They don't like that they have to win, but, you know, somebody's got to lose. And I'd rather it be you than me. Yesterday we were watching our kids play kickball. Now that was an experience over here in the Gregg Center. Ken Brown and I were laughing and others. And boy, if one of those kids kicked the ball and somebody caught it and made a great play, there was no mercy for the kicker. They cheered to the top of their lung. They were so proud that their guy was out and they were getting to continue to play. Somebody's got to win at times and someone has to lose. That is still a sign of healthy conflict in relationships. We live in a culture where it's tough at times. There has to be winners and losers, but are we playing fairly? Are we continuing to enhance trust? And then, friends, then we transition to the challenges of unhealthy conflict in relationships. It's when we get to intensity 4, where it's win at all cost. Isn't that a temptation for us at times? It's a temptation for us to not want to win at all costs. To maybe blur the lines of truth and skew them in my direction. Where it gets to be in some ways that the issue is no longer the issue. You know, that's what we have today in our scripture. In this model of the story of Stephen. As he's dealing with the expansion of the church, the scripture tells us that Stephen was a deep man of faith. But there were those who were challenged. There was a controversy. They didn't like what he was saying. That he was preaching life through Christ. That he was challenging their way of practicing faith according to the law of Moses. Stephen was one who was proclaiming the same message that Peter and others just days before had proclaimed. That it's not so much what we do that we have right relationships with God, but it's what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. And we hear how this transition happens in verse 11 through 13. Listen to the unhealthy conflict that these people of faith embrace. It says in verse 11 that they secretly instigated others. You know, I've heard it said, maybe you have before, if we have to do things in secret, that's a pretty good indicator that we're getting off the right path. If you don't want your mama or your Sunday school teacher knowing about it, probably not a good idea. That's what we see in our scripture today. That they instigated and did things in secret to challenge the integrity of Stephen. Also, it says here in verse 12 that they stirred up people, elders, scribes, and then they escalated even further. You see what happened there? As Bullard talks about in his intensities, it's one thing if we keep the issues, but when we see conflict rising to intensity 5, we involve everybody around. We talk about it on the street. We want to defame that one that we're in competition against. We want to help our efforts even more. The issue can no longer become the issue. That's what's happening here in the church, in the first century church, as they challenge the very integrity of Stephen. And sadly, as we know the rest of the story. Many of us who've read this story in Acts, it doesn't end well for Stephen, right? Not only do they bring false charges before him, as Jesus was sentenced through false witnesses, we know, but Stephen ultimately, this conflict reached all the way to intensity 7, where his very life was taken. Physical harm was sought. And it all began, friends, if we look back, by what I would be convinced they didn't deal with conflict in a healthy way. So I think in our scripture today, we're challenged. How do we as the church, how do we as mamas and daddies, as friends at school, how do we deal with challenges, with conflicts in a healthy way? There's an acronym I want to share with you today that I'll title COACH. Many of us need coaches at times to guide us. BJ was saying just yesterday, I believe I need to get Noah. He's such a good coach. Maybe he can work with Stan sometime. We need coaches to guide us, to help us when we need to grow our muscles, get better in our relationships. So in this model today, I want us to think about how can we remain healthy in our relationships. The first letter of that acronym, COACH, is C. And it begins with Christ. We spoke of that last week where we said, to be healthy as a church, we need to remain healthy as a person of faith. To exercise our muscles physically so that we can get out of bed, so we can enjoy life. We do the same spiritually. We study the Word. We pray. We rely on Christ. That's how we began. Pursuing healthy relationships with Christ central in our life, in our relationships. The next letter of that acronym is the O, if we're thinking about COACH. When we're in relationships, we need to provide oversight. We need to oversee how are we engaging. We need to be conscious. Are we overstepping? Is there consequences? Don't ignore problems as they present themselves. And then the next letter is the A. This is tricky. We have to wrestle with when do we avoid conflict and when must it be addressed. Any of us who've been employers or bosses are certainly employees. Maybe we've been on a sports team. There are some issues that must be addressed while there are others that maybe someone else can deal with. Maybe we can delegate that. There are certain conflicts I'm sure Benton deals with in a business level. He wonders, must I address this or can I delegate this to someone else? Or maybe I need to move it up to the CEO and let him address it. We continually oversee and provide oversight to the challenges in relationships and certainly in the church as we try to model Jesus Christ. And then friends, here's an important ingredient in relationships, in the church, in family and marriages. One of the most important gifts, communication. That's the C. The next letter in that acronym. You know, good communication, many people say, helps change the world. Some of you may have seen the YouTube blog once. It's titled, "It's a Beautiful Day, But I Can't See It." It shows this gentleman sitting who's blind, and he has a sign in front of him that says, "I'm blind, please help." Periodically, people come by and drop a few coins in his cup. But suddenly, as the film progresses, a lady walks by. She picks up the sign. She turns it over. You don't know if she's going to destroy it or tear it. But she writes on the back of the sign. She places it back before the blind gentleman. And then people pour money into him. They overflow his cup with gifts. She comes back a couple of days later. He fills her shoes. He knows it's the same person. And he asks, he said, "What did you do to my sign?" She said, "I wrote the same thing. I just said it differently." Before, the sign had said, "I'm blind, please help." She changed it to say this, "It's a beautiful day, but I can't see it." Friends, words, how we say things, how we communicate with our spouses, with our children, with our parents, with our employees, with our co-workers, with our teams. Friends, that's essential to healthy relationships. You know, I have a friend recently who was telling me about he inherited a Labrador Retriever. Sometimes that can be good, right, Benton? Sometimes it can be bad. He inherited a Labrador Retriever that had been trained. And he said this person went on and on about how good this dog was. He knew all the commands. And he tried him out first thing. The first thing he said was, "Heel." The dog didn't heel. He sat. He came when he was supposed to. He stopped when he was supposed to. But he didn't heel. And he finally figured out after talking to the previous owner, the problem was the dog had not been trained on the word heel, but rather the word hip. You have to speak their language. When he said hip, the dog got right where it was supposed to be. You know, that's a challenge for us. In communication, speak the language of those that we're in relationship with. And find the health that only that can provide. Friends, communication in the church is essential. When you have a challenge, a conflict, a problem to stop, don't ignore it, but communicate. That's the next letter of the acronym. But finally, the last one and the one I cherish most of all, the H, is to seek help. You know, ultimately, that was the problem in our scripture today. Once the problem, once the conflict begins to get beyond just simple winning and losing, but it gets to win at all costs, when it gets to lying and false witnesses and untrustworthy action, friends, that's the time that we need to admit we need help. The problem's bigger than us. We need someone to help negotiate, someone to help collaborate, someone to help us to communicate. You know, Scripture tells us of a time in the life of Jesus after His resurrection that Peter had all but given up on the faith. You remember the story in John 21? After Jesus had been crucified, and Peter says this, he says, "I'm going fishing." You know, to me, that was more than a simple, I'm going out to do something I enjoy. It was Peter, I think, going back to his prior employment. You remember his call? Peter was a fisherman. And Jesus said, come and follow me. And Peter did. And here at the end, it seems that even after he tried to follow Jesus, it was fruitless. Because Jesus died. See, I'm convinced when Peter said, I'm going fishing, I'm going back. But even then, John tells us that Jesus met them on the bank. Many of us know the story that as they were fishing, Jesus said, have you caught anything? I'm meeting you where you are. I'm meeting you at your problem. Have you caught anything? And he says, try the other side of the boat. And they catch so many, they couldn't bring the net in. Friends, could it be that our God is so good to meet us in our problem? To embrace us with strength to bring in a haul of fish to conquer whatever illness or ailment we know in our relationships. He helps us when we find we have no answers. Jesus our Lord comes to us when we entrust Him as our strength. You know, just this week, we were grilling out and I made some world famous buffalo wings. They're world famous in my house, maybe nowhere else. And when I did, I made a mistake. I got one of those beautiful Tupperware bowls and I mixed them up in it, a white bowl, and that bowl is now orange. On the inside, I tried everything. I used Dawn. I used Windex. I even used an SOS pad. I couldn't get that orange stuff out of my bowl for anything. You know what my wise wife said? She said, try nonstick spray. Sure enough, I sprayed the nonstick spray in the bowl. 30 minutes later, wiped it out with a paper towel. Now, isn't that something? We think of nonstick spray not as a cleaning agent, but what we should use first of all, right? Friends, sometimes in conflict, in challenges, in problems, we scrub, we bring out the Windex, we try with all of our might, Lynn, to get it clean, and we can't fix it. We really should go back to what we should have started with at the very beginning. The source of cleanliness and hope and life found in Jesus Christ, who is our help and our Savior forever. Amen.